This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Parshas Pinchas. Welcome to the Kollel Igra D'Pirka here in Kew Garden Hills, New York, or something like that, or wherever you may find yourself. Parshas Pinchas. Let's begin with an interesting Gemara in Baba Matzia, Daf Kuf Yadalet Amid Aleph, going on to Kuf Yadalet Amid Beis. Ashkechei Rabba Baravu Al Eliyahu. Rabba Baravua found Eliyahu, Dekoi Beveis HaKvarais, that he was standing in the Beis HaKvarais, Shaloib Dekechavim. So, Rabba Baravua sees Eliyahu, he's hanging out in the graveyard. Amar Lei, Lav Koyenu, Rabba Baravua said, what are you doing, Eliyahu? You're a Koyen. Lav Koyenu Mar? My time at coming Beis HaKvarais. Amar Lei, Loi Masni Mar Taharais? Didn't you learn Taras Satan, Rav Shimba Yechoy Omer, Kibrein Shah Adagahom, Ein Matamin, Shinemar, Va'atain Soin, Itsoin Marisi, Atem, Adam Atem, Atem Kurim Amen, Adagahom Kurim Adam. It's not a problem, it's a Gentile cemetery. Now, based on what did Rabba Baravua feel that Eliyahu was a Kayin? I mean, what makes him a Kayin? He's a Kayin? How is Eliyahu a Kayin? You know, what were his Kohanic qualifications? So, says Rashi, Lav Koimar, the Ikalamanda Omar, the Eliyahu who Pinchas. There is an opinion that Eliyahu is Pinchas, the Chziv Bey. It says about Pinchas, it says about Eliyahu, Kanoi Kinesi, I was jealous, Vechain be Pinchas, be Kanoi es Kinasi. So Rashi finds an analogy between Eliyahu and Pinchas. It says about Eliyahu, Kanoi Kinesi, I was jealous for the Lord. And it says, by Pinchas, Bekana is Kinasi. Now, where by Eliyahu does it say his Kina? It says, over here, Vayava in Malachim, Sham El Hamara. Eliyahu came to the cave, Vayalan Sham, Vine Dvara Sham Elav. The word of the Lord was to him, Ayamarloi, Malacha Pele, what are you doing here? Vayomer, Kanoi, Kinesi, La Sham, Lekate Savakos. I was zealous for God. So it says, Kina by Eliyahu, and it says by Pinchas in our Parsha, Kina, Bekanoi is Kinasi b'saicham v'leichilisas, and therefore that draws an analogy that Eliyahu is none other than Pinchas. Okay, so we see this concept, who is Eliyahu Anavi? Eliyahu Anavi is none other than Pinchas. Okay, what other evidence do we have that Pinchas is Eliyahu? Is this something we encounter in our parsha? And in Shemois, when Moshe Rabbeinu spent 7 days sort of deferring when God wanted him to take the Jewish people out of Eretz Yisrael, out of Mitzrayim, so finally Moshe Rabbeinu defers and he says, "Vayomer bi Adai Shem, please, my Lord, shlach na biyad tishlach, send please in the hands of the one who you usually send." Rashi learns, who is Moshe referring to? Who does God usually send? Says Rashi, "Biad mi sha'ata rogel l'shleich, the one who you usually send, v'hu Aaron, which is Aaron, because we know that that the Ribbono Shel had sent and spoken to Aaron even before he spoke to Moshe. How do I know that? That's actually indicated in Sefer Yecheskel, which is an interesting phenomenon where the Navi Yecheskel gives us information that's not found in the Chumash. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, you've already spoken to Aaron. By the way, do you know what the nevuah that Aaron got in Mitzrayim? Aaron got prophecy in Mitzrayim to tell Klal Yisrael to get rid of their Avodah Zarah. Hasiru ish, shikutse alilam. Everyone has to remove their Avodah Zarah. Fine. But comes Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Comes Targum. Now, one thing I'm sure you've heard, if you've been listening to the Shurim over the years, that Targum Yonasan ben Uziel was not written by the Tana Rav Yonasan ben Uziel. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is Targum Yushalmi. And the printers, because there are two versions of Yushalmi, they mistakenly called it Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Because if you look in the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Gimel, the Gemara says that Yonasan ben Uziel wrote the Targum on the Nevi'im, but he did not write the Targum on the Chumash. So this is merely a printer's invention to distinguish between two noschois of the Yushalmi. But either way, it's an ancient Targum. The Targum teaches the Pasuk, Shlach no biyad tishlach, va'amar, bevo'u berachamin min kadamach Hashem. Shlach kedoin shlichusach, send your messengership, biad Pinchas, in the hands of Pinchas, de chame lemishtal chabasof yamaya, that you are fit to send in the end of days. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you know who you should send to take out of Mitzrayim? Pinchas, who will redeem in the end of days. What do you mean Pinchas will redeem in the end of days? I thought Eliyahu will redeem in the end of days. So again, you see from Targum Yonasan ben Uziel that Pinchas is Eliyahu. We see it in this Rashi in Bava Metzia. We see it in this Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Send forth in the hands of Pinchas that you who I will send in the end of days. There's a Perush on Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. And I don't know, you might have a hard time reading it here. I'm going to read it from my sheet. Perush the one who is destined and worthy to be sent in times of Mashiach. The Sfir Alei, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel holds, Pinchas hu Eliyahu, Pinchas is Eliyahu, sheyavai lefnei yom agadol v'yia mevaser. He will come before the great day and be the tider of good, the one who gives good tidings. Now, says the Perush Yonasan, where is there any indication that this is that Pinchas is Eliyahu? Ulani es daiti nira dayek midchsev shlach na. It says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's request shlach na, and in the context of Eliyahu, the word na appears often. Uboy kasov vayihi na pishnayim beruchacha. Eliyahu said, "Double of my spirit should be upon him." So we find the word na in context of Eliyahu. Likewise, I wrote over here, Malachim Beis, Parak Beis, Pasuk Tazayin, V'yomer Elav, Hine Na, Yeshes Avdecha. The word Na is a name which is often associated with Eliyahu, and just to throw out there, one of the reasons why Na is associated with Eliyahu is because actually Pinchas had the neshama of Na, Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu. And actually, the Zayar HaKadosh tells us that when Pinchas tried to kill Zimri, Parcha Nishmasai, his soul departed. And in his place came the soul of Nadav and Avihu. And that's one of the reasons he became a Kayin. Because Pinchas ben Elazar, Pinchas who used to be the son of Elazar, is now ben Aroin HaKayin because he's Nadav Avihu, says the Chida. But that's, we have a whole shir on this subject. But today we're going to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. Fine. The Navi says, "Hinei anoichi shelach lachem es Eliyah hanavi lefnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanoira." And we want to know, where in our parsha is there a remez, or is there a remez in our parsha to this idea that Pinchas is Eliyahu? So interestingly, one nekuda that we find is we see by Eliyahu he's missing a vav, Eliyah hanavi. And the Baal HaTurim points out the Vav Ketia in Brisi Shalom is merames to Eliyah HaNavi. This Vav Ketia represents the removal of the Vav from Eliyahu. Okay, so we're going to now examine a few sources of where we see in the Parsha any indication that Pinchas was Eliyahu. So we start with Rabbeinu Bachaye. We know that with the reward of Pinchas, it was Lachain Amar, Hinani Noisin Lois Brisi Shalom. Behold, I will give him the covenant of peace. Now, where in these words do we see anything about him being Eliyahu or him living a long time? So Rabbeinu Bachaye says like this, Nimseis Lamad. We learn from here, Shehashavas Hachema Gorma Kiman Shal Yisrael. The fact that Pinchas put God's wrath to rest allowed for Klal Yisrael to exist. Because had it not been for this, they would have disappeared. Pinchas garam li Yisrael oirech yamim ushnois chayim ki oirech yamim ushnois chayim. Right, Pinchas caused Klal Yisrael to live long and years of life. In other words, we are alive today because of Pinchas. So Pinchas gave Klal Yisrael and us everlasting life. The years that he gave us are eternal. Therefore, he too deserves to live forever and ever. Mida kineged mida, quid pro quo. Ki Pinchas ze Eliyahu, ki inyan she'amar hanavi, brisi Haisa, Itai, Hachayim, Vehashalayim. My covenant is with him for life and peace. V'nemar kan es brisi shalayim. Ah, Rabbeinu Bechaye makes some type of gezera shava. And the gezera shava is like this. It says by Eliyahu, brisi haisa itam hachayim vehashalom. It says in Malachi, brisi haisa itam hachayim vehashalom. My covenant was with him of life and peace. So it says peace by Eliyahu. And peace over there means life. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, therefore when it says peace by Pinchas, peace means life. Some type of gezeras shava. Okay, which we find similar things that sometimes you could draw an analogy between Chumash and Nevi'im through a common word. Okay. The Zohar HaKadosh, which is brought in the commentary of Rav Shevel on Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Zohar HaKadosh says like this. Because Brisi Shalom refers to... So far, how do I know Pinchas is Eliyahu? Because it says Shalom in the Chumash, it says Shalom in the Navi, and Shalom by the Navi is in the context of Chayim. But the Zohar says Shalom means from the Malach HaMaves. Now if you have peace from the Angel of Death, if you and the Angel of Death are on good terms, you're going to live a long time. Let's try to read this. Deloy Shalat Bela Alman. The Malach HaMaves never had dominion over him, and he did not die like a regular mortal. And Rabbeinu Bechaye himself writes later, because Pinchas was Ma'as Ba'olam Hazeh, in other words, he cast his life aside to take up the cause of God, therefore Hashem allowed him to live forever. But still, it's very hard in the Pashut reading of the Psukim. The word Shalai means peace, it doesn't mean life. It's very nice in the Navi, it's in the context of Chayim, but literally Shalai means peace. So from where in the Pasuk do we see that Pinchas lived forever? So the Sfarno sort of addresses this question. The Sfarno is bothered because since we have a tradition that Pinchas lived forever, where is this alluded to in the Pasuk? Says the Sfarno, the same as the Zohar, as Brisi Shalom Mimalach HaMoves, from the Angel of Death, Ke'inyin Oisa Shalom Bimraimav. I believe what the Sfarno is saying, that the word Shalom doesn't always just mean peace from Machlekes. Shalom could have a context of a certain level of existence that's above, let's say, the vicissitudes of this world. For example, in the Pasuk, Oysa Shalom Bimraimav, so to hear, Shalom doesn't mean that he didn't have Machlekes, and Shalom means that he was whole, something that endures. Why? Says the Sfarno, Ki amnam ha-hefsid lo yikra ela besibas hisnagdis ha-hafachim. Says the Sfarno, if you want to know, why do people get old? Why do people deteriorate? Why are we not as vibrant and vigorous as we were when we're 20 years old? The answer is, a human being is composed of opposing forces. And these opposing forces cause hefsed. V'zeh amnam niskayim b'pinchas. But what was fulfilled in Pinchas, sheherich yomim harim amim kol sharan shedar, he lived longer than anyone else in his time. Ad shehayahu mishamish b'mishkan shila b'zman pilagish b'giva. He's still alive and kicking in Shoiftim. That's for sure. Without coming on to Chazal even, just the Pashat reading of the Nevi'im, Pinchas is still active in Mishkan Shilai. Shahaya Bli Safik Achari Mos Yeshua Shar Hazakenim Asharich Yom Achari Yeshua, which was a very long time later. V'chol Shekenim Haya Bizman Yiftach, and especially if you're going to go with the opinion he was in the times of Yiftach, Shekasav Lamelech B'nei Amoin, who wrote to the king of Amoin, B'Shevas Yisrael B'Cheshbon V'Noisah Shalosh Me'ashana. So now we're talking over 300 years. And especially, it says over there that at the time of Yiftach, Pinchas did not want to go matter his neder. So if he was alive then, he really lived long. He really has something going. The kol shekein l'divrei ha'omer Eliyahu ze Pinchas. And especially according to the opinion that Eliyahu is Pinchas, so he lived forever. So where in the psukim do we see that he in fact lived forever? Because shalom means that, the Sfarno says, death and deterioration is caused by the conflict that is within the forces within a human being. And Pinchas had a perfect equilibrium with these opposing forces, and therefore he lived forever. The Rabbi Yehuda Asad, the Mahari Asad, in his Shalos HaTshuvos, explains a very similar approach, almost exactly the same as the Sfarno, but he gives it more scientific description. He says that, like in the ancients, you know, the ancients believe that every human being is composed of four elements. But it seems like this is Jewish tradition as well. Jewish tradition seems to be that we also believe a human being is consisting of four elements. V'hakavana, kisibas hamaves hu al yidei hisnagdus hahafachim. Death is caused by opposing forces. Arba yisoidoi shaba'adam einam b'shalom. The four foundations of man are not in peace together. B'mezek hashave, in a correct equilibrium. Shemehem boim arba maros, from the four forces, which by the way, Reb Chaim Vital writes about it very clearly in the Shari Kedusha. A person is made out of Esh, Mayim, Afar, and Ruach. And the different midos of a person emanate from these different yisoidos. But the Mahari Asad says that these four yisoidos are responsible for four types of liquids. Mara Shchaira, some kind of bile, some kind of black liquid. Yeroika, green. Aduma, red. Levana, white. You know what these things are exactly? Bile, phlegm, blood, you know, white blood cells. We don't know exactly. But the bottom line is, when they're out of kilter, when they're out of whack, then of Isgabras Echad al Khaveru Kalag of Nifsad. When one prevails over the other, the whole body is destroyed. Minispardu Kalabra Yusas Hakava. And then the compound which is man unravels. This is the Pshat. My covenant was with Pinchas, life and peace. Meaning, God told him, since you're going to have peace and all your elements are going to be at peace with each other, therefore you will live forever. Comes Rabbi Yosef Engel, and he uses this Yisoid to say Pshat in the Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas says, Tana. So Gemara and Dalet Amid Beis Tana Michael ba'achas Gabriel b'shtayim Eliyahu ba'arba Malach Hamaves b'shmoina. So the Pashup, what does this mean? The Pashup Shah in this Gemara, Michael with one, Gabriel in two, Eliyahu in four, Malach Hamaves eight. The Marsha explains the Pashup Shah that Michael is the Malach of Rachamim, Gabriel is the Malach of Din, and Rachamim is. Rachamim, Hashem allows for Rachamim more than He allows for Din, and therefore Hashem allows Michal to do His mission in one fell swoop. On the other hand, Gavriel, which is Koyach HaDin, Hashem tells him to stop in between. Maybe Hashem will relent. What does it mean, Eliyahu Ba'arba? Four prichos, four flyings, because he's made out of Esh, Mayim, Avir, and Afar. And therefore he has to rest three times in between, and we find by the Isha, the Yeled, Shel Hatzarfas, it says, Vayismoidir ala Yeled three times. The Malach HaMaves, he has to fly eight times with seven rests. And that's the reason why at Elevaya we stop with the coffin seven times, Keneged, the seven pauses of the Malach HaMaves. However, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, based on what we just learned from the Sfarno and the Mahari Asad, we understand the deeper meaning of what it means, Eliyahu Ba'arba. Eliyahu Ba'arba means somebody that one of his yisoidos prevails and is stronger than the other, then all of his actions are going to be attributed to that yisoid. Meaning, somebody who is a fire guy, he's going to do everything quickly, hastily, with energy. Someone who's a dust guy, Everything is going to be heavy with atzos. Someone who's a mayim guy, he's overly a bal chesed. But somebody who is perfect equilibrium, then all of his actions are all equally attributed to all four yesoidos. This is what it means that Eliyahu be'arba. Eliyahu did not allow one particular yesoid and phenomenon to overpower him more than the other. Now, tzaddikim who have no chatoim, and they die be'et yoshel nachash, none of their yesoidos are stronger than the other. They have an equal equilibrium. He says this is the meaning, v'atama sara be'kiryas arba. Sara the tzaddikis died be'kiryas arba hi chevrain. All four yesoidos were mechubar in her equally, says Hagoin Rav Yosef Engel. Now, one second. Interestingly, why Rabbeinu B'chayi writes in the Kara Kemach, we find that tzaddikim die, even if they didn't sin, only because that's the verdict of man. So if that's the case, why did Chanoich and Eliyahu live forever? If even, let's say, Yishai, Amram, Kilav, Binyamin, the four people who never did Navera, if even they died, because all man has to die, so why didn't Eliyahu and Chanoich? And Rabbeinu B'chayi basically says that Hashem left two Edim Ne'amanim to testify to the world that in fact it's Chet that brings about Misa and nothing else. And therefore, and they are sort of the testimony that in fact if somebody does not sin, then there's no reason for Misa. Okay. Now, in the Perush on the Rabbeinu B'chayi Toras Chaim, he also brings a remez, Hineni noisin lai es brisi shalom is oisiois bris shalai yamos. You could unscramble those letters. So there are many, many indications here that the even though you read the pasuk, it says God says, hey, Pinchas, peace unto you. No, peace, it says here peace, and it says in the Navi, peace in the context of life. Plus, peace means peace from the Malach HaMavis, like the Zayar says. Plus, peace means peace from the four Yisoidos. Plus, the Oisiyos could be unscrambled, Bris Shalayamos. So he already brought out four indications from the Pasuk, even though with the naked eye you look at the Pasuk and you don't see any remez, any hint even that Hashem is telling Pinchas he would leave forever. We already see four. Peace here, and it says peace in the Navi in the context of life. Peace from the Malach HaMavis, peace from the Dalad Yisoides, and the letters spell the Bris Shalayamos, and number five, the Balaturim, as we mentioned, the Vav Kitia of Shalom is a reference to the Vav that is taken out of the name of Eliyahu. Now, here's another amazing remez. The Gemara says, Eliyahu Ba'arba, Eliyahu with four. Says the Paneach Raza, one of the Rishonim, one of the great masters of Ramazim in the Torah, Eliyahu is Gematria 52. Four times Eliyahu is Pinchas 208. That's another amazing remez. Eliyahu be'arba. Eliyahu times four is Pinchas 208. 52 times four is 208. Now we come to a very interesting Chida. The Chida has a question, a textual question. So Chazal say Pinchas is Eliyahu. You know who this Pinchas is? This Pinchas that we're reading about in the parasha, you know who he is? He is Eliyahu. What do you mean he's Eliyahu? We've never encountered Eliyahu yet. Who's Eliyahu? Eliyahu's later. Does it make sense to say Pinchas is Eliyahu? It should be Eliyahu. You know this guy Eliyahu? You know who he really is? He's Pinchas, the person we read about in the Chumash. I mean, who is the more known and who is the lesser known? You know, we're dealing with Pinchas in the Chumash. Pinchas is a very central character in the Chumash. And if you want to identify him, we should say, what do you mean Pinchas is Eliyahu? We don't know Eliyahu. Eliyahu is not found in the Chumash. It should say Eliyahu came later. You know who he is? He's Pinchas. So this is a question the Chida is bothered by. And the Chida quotes a Yalkut Ruveni, and the Kliyakar in Malachim says the same thing. Says the Kliyakar in Malachim, Kimedum Alisha Shamati Ay Matsasi Kasav. Either I heard or I found She'eliyahu Hanavi Hu Mitchilasei Mamish Echa Mitzvah Marim. That at first Eliyahu is one of the angels. May Oysam Shekichigu B'tzias Adam. He's one of the ones who said, you know, why are you making man? Why would you make man? Therefore God sent him downstairs in a physical cloak, just like the angels who came to visit Avram were clothed. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he removed him above like the angels of Avraham. In fact, the Chida brings down Eliyahu Hanavi Zachor La'Toiv Mitchila Haya Malach V'Shah Sharatza HaKadosh Baruch Livrei Olam. He said to Eliyahu and to the other Malachim, Nasa Adam. Amar Leim Lefanecha Toiv Lefanai Loi Koshekein Im Toiv Enech Ani Erd VeAshamish Lefanov. Basically, the Chida brings a Medrash. Then Eliyahu was around before Pinchas. Ah, says the Chida, that's the pshat. Pinchas is Eliyahu because Eliyahu preceded Pinchas. Not like we think that Pinchas doesn't, Eliyahu doesn't come to the scene until Malachim. No, Eliyahu actually predated and preceded Pinchas. And that's why the terminology of Chazal is Pinchas is Eliyahu. Fine. A very interesting Torah. The Torah tells us, we know the minhag is that, what? You want to say something?
Yeah, the spirit of the whole idea that Eliyahu, you know, the Brit Hishonah, the Brit Hishonah is not forever, and therefore, and need the neshama of Eliyahu, the sheriff of the Pinchas, if Eliyahu was a malach, it's the whole spirit, the whole concept that the whole thing started because of Pinchas, and therefore, you know, he lived forever. If he was a malach in the first place, these two chunks can't live together. You know what I'm saying?
You wonder how could he start off as a malach and then be a person?
If you start off as a malach, so then if the reason you're living together is so you can fall back to the Shemayim. But the whole reason that they all lived together is because he came from Pinchas, he had the shayish of Pinchas in him.
Because of Brit Yishawah, not because he was a malach, Richard. Mm.
Right?
Again, there was a malach named Eliyahu. He was around from the time the world was created. Where he was at the time that Pinchas did his maisa, I don't know. But maybe he was done. In other words, maybe he finished doing whatever he needed to do, and then Hashem somehow connected him to Pinchas. That's above my pay grade, how that happened.
No.
Okay.
I thought the whole star to the whole main road to Pinchas, because Pinchas got reached to show him. So later on, Leo, who had that mitzvah in him from Pinchas, that's the reason he went out to Shemai, because he was reached to show him, not because he was a mahalo beforehand. It's a different mahalo.
I don't know, you know, this is the Chida is putting it into Devei Chazal that Pinchas is Eliyahu. Okay. The Tur in Yoradeh, Sun Reish Samachay, the Tur brings the tradition that we make a chair for Eliyahu at a bris. Why? Because Eliyahu in Malachim said, Kano Kines Hashem, I take revenge. I'm taking vengeance for the Lord, ki avru brischa beis Yisrael. Because the Jewish people violated bris milah. So God said, Azoi, they violated bris milah. I swear that no bris milah will take place until you see it. So since God swore that Eliyahu has to be present at every bris, the Chacham Ramasakin, once he's at the bris, we might as well make him comfortable and we give him a chair. Okay, that's the Torah. The Torah is based on the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eliyahu, what are you doing here? He said, I came to take vengeance. Hashem said, you always have problems. You know, in Shittim, you were Mekana in the Gilei Arayos. And here, you're Mekana in the Bris. I swear, you're going to have to see every Bris, and therefore the Chachamim make a chair for him. So the Prisha has a Kasha. The Prisha wants to know, is this a punishment, or is this a reward? So I would say it's a punishment. To have to go to a Bris and eat a bagel every day, which spikes your cholesterol and your blood sugar level, and literally makes a person unhealthy. So it's taka, it's a punishment to have to eat that every day. I mean, even to eat a bagel one time, you can't think the entire day. The brain is basically operating on half capacity for 24 hours after you eat a bagel. And to eat that every day, it's mamish. But the preacher says like this. The first pshat is nirali dila shavacha marlei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kein. Kivan, since you're Mekane and you're standing up for the mitzvah, so therefore I give you this chus, you get to go to every bris. It's a great chus to go to a bris. Says the Prisha, but some say it's lignai. Hashem said, you're being moitzi laz on Klal Yisrael, that they're not Mekai and bris, you're going to see them be Mekai and bris. And it's mashma the lashon a little bit, but it's k'tzas kasha loymar kain, that Elio spoke lashon hara. And also, who's going to force Elio to go to every bris? What, there's a bris police to make sure that Elio goes to every bris? So the Chida wants to know, what exactly is the punishment of going to a bris? Because you have to sit through speeches. You don't have to. You could take the bagel and the silver foil, and especially, you know, you could wrap it up in the blue napkin, and you're out. So the Chida says, Mamish Oya Menorah. The Chida in the Maris Ha'ayin brings in the name Arit Samach that the punishment is because when Eliyahu sends his spark to the Bris, at that moment, he cannot be in the Masifta Derakia and he loses out a few moments in the Masifta Derakia. The Bittul Torah, so to speak, of having to go to the Bris was the Oynesh of Eliyahu. Hashem punished Eliyahu, that's how you talk about Klal Yisrael. Now you're going to lose time in the Masifta Derakia. There is a very interesting Bnei Yisachar. He said that he heard that there is a Medrash somewhere, but he has not identified the Medrash. Eliyahu says, Ribbono Shel, you want me to go to a Bris? But I cannot tolerate going to a Bris. And one guy, you know, there are going to be people at the Bris who are Balei Avera. There might be a guy at the Bris who takes out his phone in shul. Or there might be a guy at the Bris who talks, you know, by davening. There might be a guy in the Bris who speaks Lashon Hara. I can't tolerate these kind of people. Maybe the Avi HaBen will be a Balei Avera. So Hashem said, nah, I'll be Mechaper his Avonos. So Hashem says, So Eliyahu says, Penya Babris Vamoicha Balei Averos. Maybe some of the people there will be Balei Averos. Maybe some of the Kvater will be a Balei Avera. Maybe the Gabbai will be a Balei Avera. So Hashem says, no problem, everyone's forgiven. So the Bnei Yisachar quotes this unknown Medrash, we don't know exactly where it is, that in the just going to a bris, you get all your sins forgiven. You know, who needs Elul and Yom Kippur and Tshuva? Who needs Shari Tshuva? Just go to a bris. And based on this medrash, the Bnei Yisachar says, this is a pshat tachas asher kinei lelekov, because he took up the cause, and he's a mekane for Hashem, and he cannot be soivel, balei avera, vayechaper al Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem is mechaper, the avoinus of Klal Yisrael. So they asked this to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that is there such a medrash? Is there any truth to this? That in fact Hashem is mechaper, the avoinos of anyone who goes to a bris? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said like this. It's not mistaver that just by going to a bris, God will forgive all your sins. After all, we know if somebody fasts on Yom Kippur and they don't do tshuva, what happens to their avoinos? Nothing. The Yom Kippur does not accomplish anything. We paskin in Yom Kippur mechaper bli tshuva. So you're telling me, Yom Kippur, you need tshuva, and a bris milah, you don't need tshuva. Elamai, what Hashem meant was, I'll be mechaper everyone's averos who does tshuva. But then that would not have addressed Eliyahu's taina. Eliyahu's taina is, I can't tolerate these sinful people. But if they did tshuva, so they're not sinful anymore. So Rav Shlomo Zalman touched up the pshat in this mysterious medrash, that it does not mean that God will atone and automatically remove the sins of the participants at a bris. But aside from the fact that an avera goes on a person's record and something a person has to pay for, it also causes the soul to be sullied, dirtied, and have a certain stain. And that is what Eliyahu's taina is. Eliyahu is saying, look, the price they have to pay, that's between you and them. But it's the spiritual stain and stench, that's something I can't stand. So God says, no problem. You know, I will, at the time of the bris, they'll smell good. You know, momentarily, at that time, a person, Hashem will sort of cleanse the stench and cover over the smell, and where the person is spiritually mevusam. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is a very chashuva maila, and ashrei mi who are able to remain on that maila even when the bris is over. In other words, the Rav Shlomo Zalman understands the pshat over here is not that a person is forgiven, but there's a certain spiritual pleasantness that a person is given for Eliyahu to be able to tolerate them. Oive, this one, this is not so clear, this page. Let's see what we could do. I'm going to tell you over a wondrous tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. It's in Chelek Vav Siman Tzadichas, famous tshuva. Chassam Sofer says, we know that at a bris, we say, Zeh kisei shel Eliyahu zachor latayv. And the moyal is mespala, what? Eliyahu amoyd al yamini l'samcheni. And the moyal says this even on Shabbos. And even on Shabbos, we take out a chair for none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. That means we assume that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to a bris even on Shabbos. Wait a second. How could Eliyahu come to a bris on Shabbos? We all know that Matzah Shabbos, we sing, we talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu, right? You have a good niggun? Who wants to sing a good Eliyahu HaNavi niggun? Rabbi Yoel, you have something from Eretz Yisrael? Eliyahu HaNavi Zachor LaToiv Eliyahu. Yeah, you like that one? And we have a shir even that one should mention Eliyahu numerous times Matzah Shabbos. It's brought in the Ber Hetev, in the Eliyahu Rabbah, and the Arizal says one should try to mention Eliyahu at least 130 times. But it is brought in the Poskim to mention Eliyahu. Some say 20, some say 40, some say 50. Be it as it may, we mention Eliyahu Matzah Shabbos. The reason being, because Eliyahu cannot come on Shabbos. Why can't he come on Shabbos? Because Yesh Tchumin L'malo Me'asarai. We say that he cannot travel beyond the Tchum above 10 Amos. So I have a question. If the reason we mention Eliyahu Matzah Shabbos is because he can't come on Shabbos, so how does he come to a bris on Shabbos? If he can't come to bring Mashiach on Shabbos, then how could he come to a bris? Or, I would ask, why does everybody open up the door that Eliyahu is coming to their Seder? He ain't coming to your Seder. He can't leave the Tchum. This is the Kasha of the Chassam Sofer and the Alshech. And says the Chassam Sofer, Ha'emes Yoira Darkoi. The truth is as follows. Eliyahu's body never went above 10 tefachim. His soul disconnected from his body. And his soul goes up to Shamayim and he acts like a malach. And his body remains downstairs in Gan Eden HaTachtoin. And on the day that Mashiach comes, his soul will come back down. It will be clothed in his body, and then he will appear like any other rabbi, like any other sage, like any other Navi, and he has smicha from Achia Hashiloini, or from Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's Pinchas. By the way, the Brisker Rav says, Why do we say Tishbi Yitariyitz Kushiyos V'Abayos? That Eliyahu will answer all of our questions. What do you mean he'll answer all of our questions? Why b'shamayim he? If an angel would come down now and say, by the way, I want everybody to do this, follow this halacha. We won't pay any attention. Why b'shamayim he? So why will we pay attention to Eliyahu? The answer is because Eliyahu will not come as a malach. He's going to come, put his soul in his body that's in Gan Eden HaTachton, and then he's going to paskin. But don't you need smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu? He has smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. However, he's going to be the one who will reinstate smicha. And whenever he reveals himself in his body, he's like one of the Chachmei Yisrael. But when he comes to a bris, or he comes to a seder, he's not mechuyev in mitzvahs. Malachim are not mechuyev in mitzvahs. Lameisim chavshim. And if he reveals himself in this sense, he's a malach. And even if he reveals Torah and his Megal HaDinim, we don't follow him, because it's like a chaloim and a ruach, v'in mashkich mevaskal. But when he reveals himself in his guf, he's like one of the gedolei chachmei Yisrael. And what are we going to say? Says the holy chacham sofer, v'tishbi yitaretz kushiyos aveibos, and we're going to have to listen to him like any Navi. And when Rabba Bar Avua saw Eliyahu in the cemetery, what do you mean Eliyahu doesn't have to observe Hilchos Tumah V'Tara? Of course he does, because Rabba Bar Avua saw him begufay, not b'nishmasay. And those seven shmaitzas that Eliyahu HaNavi taught was begufay. He was b'Gan Eden HaTachtoin. And likewise, the Al-Shech says the same thing in Bereishis, that his guf is in Gan Eden HaTachton, that he could be Nislabish boy, and then he's like one of the Chachmei Hador, and we have to follow him. We have another interesting question, and that is, how could Eliyahu come to every bris? You ever hear, you know, this guy, somebody wants this from you, and somebody else wants that from you, and you say, how am I supposed to cut myself into so many pieces? That's exactly the point. Says the Ben Yoyodim Sechta Sukkah, when we say that Eliyahu Zochar L'Tav, that he's Niskala B'chol Mila Mila, She'enoi Ba Kulai, it's not like his whole entity comes, Rak Chelek Mimenu, he's divided into many parts, and he could come to 1,000 Milois, B'chol Mila Yavi Chelek Echmen Ben Kachlam Shavim, depending on who the Rak HaNimal and who the person is, that to that extent Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Sorry, this part is really not clear. At the end of the life of Eliyahu, it says that they were walking and going and speaking, and a fiery chariot and fiery horses separated between Eliyahu and Elisha, and Eliyahu rose in a storm wind to the heavens. And Elisha saw and he cried out, Father, Father, chariot of Israel and its cavalry, and he never saw him again, and he rent his garments. Says the Ralbag, it cannot mean that Eliyahu went all the way up to Shemayim, because bodies don't go up to Shemayim. He says Eliyahu, the Rabbah says, never went up to Shemayim, but rather there's some very, very high place or tower, Sheroishai b'Shemayim, that he was lifted to, and we don't know exactly where this is. That's the Rabbah. However, it seems like most understand, I have to send you a clear picture, and it's certainly how what the Chidah brings down from the Rama Mipano, that Eliyahu went up to Shamayim as some kind of malach. On the other hand, the Chidah brings a tradition that Bizman Hazeh, Eliyahu HaNavi, is makriv the Karban Tamid every day in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's destroyed. As we just learned in Yevamos, even when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it remains in its Kedusha. How could you bring the carbon tumid? It has to come from the communal funds. So Eliyahu hid the communal pushka, and every day he buys from that communal pushka the carbon tumid. And not only that, it's very likely the avos come and they stand over it to fulfill mamadois. And Haman and Asaf and Yedusun, they sing. And from the hide of the carbon tumid, Eliyahu uses it as klaf, to write on it the Zuchusim of Klal Yisrael. Says the Chidah, this is what it means, I will destroy your Mikdash, and I will no longer smell the aroma of your aromas. Says the Chidah, I won't smell your aromas, but I will be smelling the karbonos that are brought by Eliyahu HaNavi. Last offering for today. Rabbi Yoel, hold up what you have. Tana de Eliyahu. Thank you. Exactly. There's something called Tana de Eliyahu, which is some type of medrash, some type of source of Tarsha Baal Peh. And the question is, who wrote Tana de Eliyahu? So the Be'er Sheva on Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Beis, says, don't make a mistake and think Tana de Eliyahu is written by Eliyahu HaNavi. But rather, there is someone, Eliyahu HaNavi, excuse me, there was someone by the name of Eliyahu, who was a Tana, who the Rambam mentions in his Hakdamah to Perash HaMishnayas, was one of the Tanaim and one of the Shalshos HaMasoira, in the times of Choni HaMagel. And he wrote Tana de Eliyahu. Because we find Tana de Eliyahu in the Gemara. However, the Chidah says it's been more than 35 years that I did not understand what the Be'er Sheva says, and his opinion of the Chidah that Tana de Eliyahu was written by none other than Eliyahu HaNavi.
Did Moshe Rabbeinu go up to Shemayim?
So how did he go up to Shemayim? So the Meshech Chochma in one of his Hakdamos, he has the following question: how could Hashem command Klal Yisrael that v'gam b'chayaminu la'olam, that you always have to believe in Moshe, but we know Altan ba'atzmuchad yoy Moshe, nobody's guaranteed to always choose good, and if Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael always to believe in Moshe, either that's fraught with danger, or Hashem took away Moshe's Bechira, neither of which is possible. So the Meshech Chochma says, no. Moshe Rabbeinu, like Paroi, he chose good so often, God made him into a Malach, and he no longer had Bechira Chavshas. So, I don't know. Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, he was Parish Menaisha after that. So what exactly his status was, how Nizdachech his goof was, I don't know. Rabbi Yisai, these are some interesting ideas about Eliyahu HaNavi. We should be zoicha to hear besurois, toivois, yeshuois, v'nachamois. Shkoyach.
Excuse me, so how is Eliyahu come to every brit? I mean, a part of his goof?
No, his neshama. The bris, in other words, how could he come to a bris on Shabbos? It's out of the tchum. He can't bring Mashiach on Shabbos. That's the neshama.
So you say it's below Esat Fachim.
Exactly. So that's why the goof cannot come to a bris. No, the goof. Right. And also to the Seder. You know, he's not coming to the Seder begufai. Now, if you personally had Gilu Eliyahu at your Seder begufai, I want to, you know, call me right after the share, please.
That was the other shiur in on for Pesach.
Okay, Rabbi Yisai, have a great day. Shkoyach.
All right.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.